I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, in the book of Romans, in the chapter number 5. Fifth chapter of the book of Romans, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, commencing to read at the verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And we end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious book for his name's sake. Amen. Amen. There is always a tremendous solemn responsibility placed upon the preacher's shoulder when it comes to the ministry of God's word. God has ordained that through the foolishness of preaching, that God will save them that believe. It is God's primary weapon to reach men and women in the darkness of their sin through the foolishness of preaching that God will save them that believe. Night by night in our mission already, we have sought to lay the issues clearly before you, the issues of life and death. And it is our desire night after night, lest any man or woman should go away from our services, to tell them plainly in these meetings that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only answer to man's sin. There is no other way to heaven. You can never find another way, only through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the blood of his cross. God has laid two verses upon my heart for this evening, therefore, in the fifth chapter of the book of Romans, the verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. I believe there are four simple thoughts in these verses that I want to draw your attention to tonight as God gives me help. First of all, we have the commended love. God commendeth his love towards us. And then secondly, we see the company loved. For it says, in that while we were yet sinners. And there we find the company that was loved by the love that was commended to us. And then thirdly, we have the costly loving. For it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the costly loving. It is so easy to say to someone tonight, I love you. And for that love to disappear, and in a few moments, and for a few weeks or months or even years, that love is no longer there. But here we find that God commends his love towards us, And the way that God commands His love is this. Christ died for us. There's the costly loving. And then lastly, the changed lover. It says, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. And so tonight, as God gives me help, I want to dissect, I want to preach from the verse that God has laid in my heart. God commending His love toward us. And that's the first thought tonight. The commended love. God commendeth His love. What a subject for a preacher to preach upon. It is the subject of the love of God. A love, my friend, that is so strong that even death itself cannot destroy. What a love there is in the love of God. I remember when I was a child, I used to hear an old song. The words of that song was this: a mother's love is a blessing, no matter where you roam. Keep her when she's living, for you'll miss her when she's gone. Just love her as in childhood, even though she be old and gray. For you'll never miss some other's love till she's buried beneath the clay. What a wonderful love, my friend, is the love of a mother. Who can explain that love that a mother has for the child that she carried and the child that she gave birth to? And the child that you held in her arms at nurse. Who can explain that love, young person? Maybe you're embarrassed whenever your mother says, I love you, son, or I love you, daughter, and it seems to be that you've grown out of that love. And yet there is something wonderful in that love that is in the heart of a mother. There are older people here tonight. And friend, let me tell you, that mother's love of bygone days is still precious in your heart and in your life. You remember when you were heartbroken. You remember whenever life was pressing upon you and it seemed there was nobody cared or nobody understood what you're going through. And a mother held in her arms and she called you to her breast. And she nestled you there. And she gave you that embrace. And my even memory itself, my friend, remembers that love. You miss it now. She's no longer with you. She no longer reaches out her arms. For she is gone. She is taken away. But there was no one could ever heal the brokenness of your heart in a way that a mother could do. And when others cast you to the side, a mother's love was something wonderful. Oh, I think of that love of a mother. Looking back over the years as a preacher, I can think, and one thing stands in my mind. I gather round a little bed of a little child who's seriously ill. I watch that little child, and day after day when I visit the hospital, I see mothers there. It seems as if she never goes home. She lingers there when everyone else is gone. When everyone else is tired, when everyone else is exhausted, when everyone else can hardly take a step further, but mother says, I'll stay a little longer. What keeps her there? Who can explain it, friend? It is a mother's love. I think of that mother sitting there week after week in the hospital, and then one night I can remember the doctor thought that the child was serious, but mother was not going home. Oh, she was tired and she was exhausted, and people pleaded with her to have a rest, but mother said, no, I'll stay with my child. I remember sitting there till 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember sharing the little one, taking the little one in my arms, and mother handing me that little child, and for a while I would hold that child, and then I can remember the doctor coming in. And the doctor reaching out the arms, and the doctor nursing that little child. And then it did the circle again as the hours passed by. And then I remember the doctor turning to me and saying to me, Preacher, Mr. McRae, would you hand the little one to its mother?
You know, the doctor saw something that I didn't see. And I handed the little one over to that mother. And the doctor said, he reached over his hand, I can remember him saying, "Mother, it'll not be long now." And mother sat there holding that little one in her arms. And friend, the only thing that would wet that little child's face would be a drop of a tear upon the little child's face. And she would wipe it away. I remember sitting there and then watching the little one until it took its last little quiver. And the doctor reached out his hand and said, "Mommy, I'm sorry. It's all over. It's all over." Then let me tell you what kept that mother sitting there when everybody else went home. What kept her strong when everyone else was broken in body and tired and weary? Yes, mother was weary too, but there was something that kept her there. It was a mother's love. No wonder the song could say, "A mother's love is a blessing. A father's love's a wonderful thing." You know, in the older generation, I've often said that I don't really remember many times my father saying that he loved me. But you see, in those days, they didn't say it, friend. But I can honestly say this before God, and I'm a grandfather now, I never once ever doubted that love. He didn't express it in the words that other young parents can express it now. Let me tell you, my friend, a father's love is a wonderful thing. I think of David. I think of a son that broke his heart. I think of a son that rebelled against his dad. I think of a boy that tried to take away the throne. I can see a father go up and make his way out of Jerusalem. He makes his way down into the little Kidron Valley and up the Mount of Olives and then out into the hillside. I see him brokenhearted because his son breaks his heart. But he never forgot his son, friend. Even in his day of greatest rebellion, he loved him. You know, even in the great battle that was bringing Absalom's reign to the end, or his rulership to an end, David said not to hurt the lad. But he loved him. And whenever he died, he walked behind the coffin of his son and he cried. He was a king, and yet he cried like a child, and he said, "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." He was a rebel, but he was still a son. He broke his heart, but he was still a son. And whenever he was walking to the grave, he cried, "My son Absalom, would God that I had died for thee." He would have gladly taken his son's place. Who could explain that, friend? Only a father's love. I think of the prodigal son. I think of that boy the father gave him so much, and yet one day he outlived his father's home. He thought that he could make it. The grass was greener on the other side of the fence. And I can see that boy turning to his father, and in a fit he says, "Father, give me the goods that cometh to me." Yes, there was a day it was to come. But it wasn't then. And yet he demanded. He put on an act. He put on a fit. And he could stamp his feet. And he said, "Father, you give me. And I want it now." And I think that father thought within himself, you know, if I don't give it to him, he'll leave me. He'll turn his back on me. He'll go away from home. Little did that father know, friend, he paid the son's fare to the far country. Not many days after, when the father had given him everything that he could give him, he gave him his portion. And the son turned away and he looked into the far country, friend. Let me tell you, before his feet ever got there, his heart was already there. And he turned his back upon home. And he turned his back upon father. And he made his way into the far country. And he wasted his substance in riotous living. He forgot his father. Is there somebody tonight and you have outlived, as it were, your family relationship, your home? You think that you're too big for home. And your feet's got itchy. And you feel that home's too much of a curb on your way of going. And the young lad went out into the far country, friend. And whilst he forgot about family, and he forgot about home, his dad never forgot about him. You say, how do you know? I'll tell you. Because when the boy made his way home, when he had nothing else in his pocket, and nobody wanted to give him, and the boy made his way home, the Bible says, when he was yet a great way off. Others have turned their back. Others, my friend, would say to the dad, forget about him. Forget about him. He's not worth talking about. Many a night, father would have said, I wonder where he is. I wonder what he's doing. I wonder who his friends are. I wonder where he's laying down his head tonight. And dad never forgot his son. Why? Because father loved him. You know, it's very easy for people to say to a parent, if their son goes wrong, forget about them. Let me tell you, friend, you can't. He's your child. He's your child. And you can't. And they may break your heart. And they may go into the far country. And they may stray far. And they may even forget about you, my friend. But you know what I'm talking about? You can't forget them. Why? Because you love them. That's the only way to explain it. You love them. And when the boy was broken and empty, nobody wanted him. For let me tell you, the world will use you until you have nothing else to give them, and then they'll dump you. And nobody will dump you quicker, friend. When the publican has no more money to get you, not be long putting you in the doorstep. He'll keep you as long as you have plenty of money to give. The gambling den will do likewise until they'll take the last penny piece off you, friend. And then you're no use to them anymore. But isn't it amazing? When nobody else wanted this boy, the father still did. And the boy came home broken, empty, dirty, filthy. Nothing in his pocket and nothing in his body. With empty hands. And when the father saw him a great way off, he ran. And he fell on his neck. And he threw his arms around him. And he kissed him. Why, friend? He loved him. He loved him. Oh, I could go down it, friend. Listen. A father's love is a wonderful thing. A mother's love. A child's love is wonderful, isn't it? When a child puts his arms around your neck and says, Daddy, Daddy, I love you. Then let me tell you, that's something special. For a child's love is a wonderful thing. Simple. But lovely. But let me tell you, all of those loves can fail. All of those loves can end. Now the Bible asks a question. It says this. Can a mother... Listen to me now. Listen to this. Can a mother forget her sucking child? Can't she?
And the Bible answered, yea, she may forget, yet will not I forget thee.
You see, my friend, when we come to love, and it's a wonderful thing, and the expression of love, and the reality of love, all man's love peels into insignificance when it comes to the love of God. For there is no love like the love of Jesus.
I remember when I went to Belfast, first of all, and I was Dr. Pacey's assistant. I remember the caretaker in the old Ravenhill Church was a man called Joe Black. Joe actually came from Crookstown. And I remember well Joe standing at the door. And because I came and was schooled in Crookstown, Joe used to have an affinity immediately with me. Thought there was nobody like me because, you see, I was something like home. But Joe used to stand and give us testimony. He used to have a wee soft cap on. And Joe used to stand there, a very simple man, and he used to say to me, he says, you know, William, let me tell you what the Lord did for me. He says, one night, I was an awful drunkard. I couldn't keep a penny in my pocket. Many a weekend, I had my wages drunk before I got them. Many a weekend, my wife never got a penny piece. And my family likewise, and I'm ashamed to say it. And he said, one night, I was staggering down the Ravenhill Road, and I was holding on to the embankment or the railings around the Ormo Park. And he says, I was walking down, and I was just going from one railing to the next, staggering down, hoping I would make my way home. Not a penny in my pocket. And he said, this man came along. His name was Paisley. He's a young fella. And he come down and he put his hand on my shoulder and he said something to me I never forgot. He said to me, friend, do you know that God loves you? And I looked at him in my bleary eyes and I said to him, no, God couldn't love me. And he told me that God loved me so much that he gave his son to die for me upon the cross of Calvary. And he wanted to talk to me more about this one that loved me so much, but he said, he told me there was a wee hall down the Ravenhill Road, but I couldn't get to it, for I was that full drunk. And he says, I'll tell you what he did. He says, come on down to the hall. And he said, I can't. He said, you can. He said, I couldn't make it. And he said, you know what he did? He just lifted me up on his shoulder. And he threw me over his back. And he walked down the Ravenhill Road with a drunk man over his shoulders. He brought me to this wee room. And he sat me down. And he told me about the love of Christ. And then he left me. Friend, he did. And this is what Doc says is this. Ian Paisley said, I went into the church and I knelt down on my knees and I cried to God and I says, God, you've got to save this man. I want you to manifest your power in the salvation of his soul. I want you to change his life. And he came back into Joe Black. And friends, let me tell you, God had sobered him. And Joe Black called on Jesus to save him. The following weekend, he was at church. And of course, Ian said to Joe, whenever he saw him, he says, well, brother, how are you? He says, I'm doing well. He says, tell me this, how did you get on at the weekend? Meaning Saturday night. Or Friday night, first of all, coming home from work. How did you get on? Did you go to the pub? He says, I did. And he says, the big man, he says, his heart nearly fell into his boots. He says to him, Ian,
I went to the door of the pub where I left all my money for years. And I walked in through the door and I opened it. And I took the cap of my hand off my head and I held it in my hand. And I took my pay packet and I held it in that hand. And I says, I waved it in the air and I says, thank God you'll never get a penny of it. And he says, I walked home. And he said, I handed my wife an unopened pay packet. She thought there was something wrong. Yes, there was, friend. He was changed. Saved by love.
God commendeth his love towards us. The little chorus says, Jesus' love is very wonderful. It's so high, you can't get over it. It's so low, you can't get under it. It's so wide, you can't get around it.
Oh, wonderful love is the love of God. The old A.L. Moody, the preacher that God used to see multitudes saved, he had his church, his tabernacle in Chicago. But he was always afraid that somebody would come into the meetings and never hear the preacher tell them that God loved them. And so this is what he did, friend. On either side of the pulpit, there were gas jet lights. And on the shade of the gas jet lights, he wrote these words, God is love. So that no man who had ever come through the door would ever go out without knowing of God's love. One night, an old drunkard staggered down the street in Chicago. And as he staggered down the street of Chicago, before the congregation had gathered in that tabernacle, he saw the light on, and so he staggered in. He pushed the door open, and immediately he pushed the door open, he saw those words, God is love. And as quick as a shot, he closed the door again. It seemed as if it shocked him. He started to walk up the street, muttering to himself, God is love, but it can't be. Because if God is love, then God would love me, and God couldn't love me. I'm only an old, dirty, vile sinner. How could God love somebody like me? And he walked around and unknown to him, friend. He came back to the same spot again. This time the people had gathered. He walked in through the door. It was a cold night. And there was one of those old stoves there, just at the back of the tabernacle. And he saw a chair beside it and he sat down. Dwight L. Moody was preaching that night. And as Moody was preaching, he noticed at the back row he saw a man sitting crying like a child. He could hardly wait till the meeting was over. And Moody made his way. After the people had gone, he made his way to the back row. But the old man was sitting there. He was still in tears. Moody sat down beside him and he said to him, sir, you're crying. What did God speak to you through? What part of my message did God take to break your heart in such a way? And the old man wiped away the tears and he said to him, sir, nothing. I didn't even hear you preach. Not a word. He said to him, sir, well, why are you broken? And he pointed and he said, sir, you see those words on the gas jet lights? God is love. Is it true?
Is God love? D.L. Moody took up to open the scriptures, friend. And he showed him from God's word how that God loved a world for sinners lost and ruined by the fall.
Salvation full of highest cost, he offered free to all. Oh, 'twas love. 'Twas wondrous love. The love of God to me.
And he opened the scriptures. And that night, that man called on God to save him. Do you know how he was won, friend? He was won by love. God commendeth his love. But notice quickly the company that's loved. God commendeth his love toward us. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. Listen, friend. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. There's the world. That's the generality of it. But there's nothing general about this verse that we are reading here in Romans chapter 5. Notice what it says. It says, God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What does that mean, friend? That when Christ was on the cross, he was there for you and for me, for us. God loves not only the world of sinners lost. God loves you and God loves me. Sinners that are in our darkness and in our guilt and in our hopelessness and in our depravity and in our defilement and in our disgrace through sin. While we were yet sinners. God loves the sinner. God hates your sin, friend. God hates your sin. God is of purer eyes than to look upon your sin. God hates it. But God loves the sinner. God loves the sinner. The great George Whitefield was preaching in London. And as he was preaching in London, he cried out, "The Lord will save the devil's castaways! The Lord will save the devil's castaways." Unknown to Whitfield, as he cried that out at the top of his voice, ran two sinful women of the street were walking by. And as those two harlots were walking past, abandoned in their sin and living wicked lives, they looked at each other when they heard those words ring through the air, "The Lord will save the devil's castaways." And they looked at each other. And friend, as they looked at each other, the light of the glorious gospel shone in. That God loved the sinner. He hated their sin, but God loved them. And that God was willing to save them from their sin. Sometime later, Whitfield was preaching, and Lady Huntingdon, who was a good friend of Whitfield, came to him and she challenged him. And she said to him, she says, "You know, Mr. Whitfield, when I heard you saying that, that the Lord will save the devil's castaways, I think, Mr. Whitfield, to be honest, you have gone too far in saying such a thing. You've just gone too far. That kind of preaching." Mr. Whitfield put his hand in his pocket and he pulled out a piece of paper and he handed it and he said, "Lady Huntington, just read that." And the lady looked upon this letter, and this is what it said. "Mr. Whitfield, two poor lost women stood outside your tabernacle and heard you say that the Lord would save the devil's castaways. We seized upon that as our last hope. And we write to tell you that we rejoice now believing in him. And from this good hour, we shall endeavor to serve him who has done so much for us. Maybe there's someone here tonight. And friend, that's just how you feel. You're the devil's castaway. You feel guilty. You feel dirty. Because you're so sinful. And maybe others around you, maybe your friends want nothing to do with you anymore. Maybe, friend, you've disappointed them. Maybe you've disgraced them. Maybe you've brought your name into the gutter. And they don't want you to know you anymore. And you just feel like even the dirt of the street the devil's cast away. That nobody loves or nobody cares. Or nobody understand, and you've sinned against God's love, and you've sinned against God's the pleadings of God's Spirit and the wooings of his love and the warnings of his providence and the enlightenment of your mind and the pleading of your friends and the conviction of your conscience, and you've sinned against all of that. And here you are in this tent tonight. Maybe you don't understand why you're here. Let me tell you why you're here. For God wants you to know, sinner, that he loves you. Maybe nobody else does. Maybe nobody else cares. Maybe nobody else wants to know. Maybe they see you too dirty, too unclean. And yet God commendeth his love towards us. Toward you, friend. You see, the word commendeth, and that brings me to the costly loving. Listen, the word commendeth means shows, proves, exhibits, demonstrates. God demonstrates his love. God has exhibited his love, and God has proved his love. It's so easy to say, I love you. Friend, it's so cheap today. It's so cheap. How many people confess standing at the altar and my in marriage and they say, I love you. And friend, let me tell you this, it doesn't even last sometimes a week. So cheap. Let me tell you, there's nothing cheap about God's love. It's the costly loving. Listen to these. God commendeth his love toward us. You and me. And that while we, that again, you and me, that while we were yet sinners, that's right, friend, you and me sinners, for God says there's no difference. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you are. You might be a millionaire or a million. You might be a prince or a pauper. You might be educated or illiterate. You might be up and out or down and out. God says there's no difference. All have sinned. While we were yet sinners, listen to this, Christ died for us. And how has God proved his love, friend? How has God exhibited his love? In Jesus Christ. Listen, my friend. You read the story of the life of Christ, and the life of Christ illustrates God's love. Think of the Lord Jesus. How he showed his love when he was here on this earth. He healed the sick. He healed the brokenhearted. He gave sight to the blind. Those that were dead, he gave life to. And in his life he showed how much he loved. But friends, let me tell you, in his dying, in the shedding of his precious blood, if you want to understand how much God loves you, then go to the cross. Christ died for us. He cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said to the old dying thief, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He looked at Mary as she stood before the cross, and he looked in John's direction, and he said, woman, behold thy son, and son, behold thy mother. He cried when the darkness surrounded the tree, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in the agony of the cross, he cries, I thirst. He who made the rivers, he who made the seas, he cries, I thirst. And then he cries, it's finished. The work's done. And lastly, he says, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He died for us. What the book says, listen to this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man some would even dare to die. But friend, Christ died for you and me, the sinner, his enemy. Our back was towards him. Our face was towards the world. And yet he loved us. His hands outstretched of love, they were wounded to heal us. His feet were nailed to the cross to release us. His side of love was pierced to assure us. His body was stripped to clothe us. His head was crowned with the accursed thorns to crown us with a crown of righteousness. The costly loving, he loved me. He loved me. If I could only stir your heart tonight, I can't. Oh, may the Spirit of God stir your heart when you think of the love of God. Go to Calvary, friend. Why was he there? For you and me. Why did he die? For your sins and mine. Why did he shed his precious blood? That you might be cleansed and made clean. It was for me alone, the Savior left the glory throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky. It was for me. He bled and died. He was wounded for our transgressions. Here's the last thought. The changed lover. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Time's away. Thank God we've a changed standing. For the man, the woman, the boy or girl who comes by saving faith to Christ, he robes us in the righteousness of Christ, and we are justified by faith, just as if we never had sinned. A new changed standing. But thank God we have a certain salvation. We shall be saved from wrath through him. I want to tell you something. I'll never be in hell. I'll never be in hell. Thank God I will be in heaven. I have been saved from wrath through him. Oh, Christ is the answer. He is, friend. He's the only one you need. And let me tell you, he's at the Father's right hand tonight. And let me tell you, person asks the question, what's in heaven made by man? somebody says nothing. Oh, there is. For the Lord Jesus Christ is in the glory. And He still is as a lamb that had been slain. He carries the marks of Calvary. He carries the marks of Calvary. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Glory to God, He has sat down at the right hand of God. Prince and a Savior. Lord Jesus, thank You for Your love. I'm glad You loved me. There was no merit in me. I was unlovely. I was unclean. I was vile. I was depraved. I was debauched. I was dead in sin. I was dark in iniquity. But Calvary covers it all. My sin, with its guilt and its shame, my guilt and my despair, glory to God, He carried it there. Calvary covers it all. Oh, come to Christ tonight. Praise God, you'll be clean. Whiter than snow. Cleansed through the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh, we thank Thee with all our hearts tonight for Calvary. I thank You for the precious blood that Jesus shed for my redemption. I thank Thee that He was wounded for my transgressions and crushed and bruised for mine iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace was upon Him, but praise His name, through His stripes, glory to God, I'm healed. And oh God, I thank Thee that Jesus is the way to heaven. And those who are standing in Christ and in His righteousness through faith, in His redeeming blood, we are justified, just as if we never had sinned, through His blood. And we are saved from wrath through Him. Oh, may men and women come to Him tonight. May young people turn away from their sin. May they fall in love with Christ. Give them grace to come now, Lord. Help them to come to Jesus. Help them to nestle into His loving embrace. And go home changed. Changed forever, loved with an everlasting love. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, friend, you stand at a crossroads now. God's told you He loves you. God's told you He shed His blood to save you. God's told you that the blood that He shed was to cleanse you. You come to Him and ask Him to do that. O Lamb of God, I come. You see, a preacher tell me, how do I come? You come as you are, friend. Come as a sinner. You have done the sin. Thank God He does the saving. Just as I am, as we sing this little verse. If there's a man, a woman, boy or girl in this gathering, you say, preacher, lead me to Jesus. I'd love to be saved. I'd love the load of my sin lifted. I'd love the stains of my sin cleansed away. Come and be clean. Come to Christ. This is a solemn place, for as we stand, we stand, as it were, at the foot of the cross. A place where Jesus shed His blood and died. Where the Savior said, sinner, I love you. And I died for you. And oh God, men and women are going away tonight. And they're walking away from Calvary. They're walking away from the Savior's love. And they're turning their back on me. I beg in Jesus' name, O God, by your Spirit, stop them. And save them tonight. For Jesus' sake. Amen.